Today's episode of the Roma Press Podcast is once again sponsored by our wonderful friends over at Zencastr, who are making the podcasting experience all the more easier. You don't need all of the expensive equipment when you have Zencastr. They give you HD video, high quality recordings, WAV format, MP3 format. You get it all by going to zencastr.com/pricing. And if you use code Roma Press, you can get 30% off of your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing very well. Hopefully, you are staying somewhat entertained during this break. I have already made it clear that I have not or would not be watching much of the World Cup, Andy, but today I did have to give in to my, temptation, because it was either watch Roma play some team from Japan. I don't know what we want to call them, Japanese.
No, I have only respect for Dan Friedkin's business partners. I have the utmost respect, so you're not going to drag me into any silly stereotypes.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
Fine.
You're on your
fine.
Own.
I had a few ready, but that's fine. So instead of watching that, I have to admit, I did watch my first full World Cup match today. So that breaks a streak of what? We're almost a week and a half into the World Cup, give or take. So I held out about as long as I could. I watched the very thrilling Brazil-Switzerland match, which you know sat through 80 minutes of nothing.
that's the typical Solano luck.
Well, you know, I have to say too, I didn't realize, and again, part of this is my total and complete disinterest in this World Cup, which I do have to take some sort of a victory lap, because what was it, like 2 hours into it, they announced that there would not be any sale of beer at the matches.
I think it was even like 2 days before, when they got all the British fans into their hotels, and then they probably locked the doors and said no alcohol, and so every British man in Qatar died that very moment, and then was replaced by fans from India who took their spot.
Right, well, right. So there was no chance they were going to reveal that one ahead of time. So part of me at least respects the hustle, so to speak, that they were at least smart enough to wait a little bit before dropping that bomb. But this World Cup, man, I don't know about you. Have you been watching much of it? It's been so difficult for me to get really invested into it.
To be honest, I've watched only pieces, bits here and there. The only match I watched in its entirety from minute one to the last was last night in Spain, Germany. That one I had to, because that's kind of like a pretty big caliber match. So it's nice. Also, Luis Enrique, whenever he's on, it's nice to see. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, you this World Cup has had its moments. I think there have been a lot of dull stretches. There have been really exciting moments. There are some teams that, you know, make it worth, you know, looking, like they let you know, hey, it's happening. You know, you had Japan beating Germany. You had Morocco beating Belgium. So you've had some games where clearly the smaller sides made a big impact in Saudi Arabia with Argentina. There hasn't been really a clear favorite in just, you know, attitude, talent. Yes, Brazil has the personnel to do it, but again, you look at this game against Switzerland and no Neymar and so on, and you're getting just a flat performance. Obviously, in the previous games, you had a banger from Richarlison, so that's nice. But I think the build up to this World Cup was so long and painful and so much stuff, you know, about it, but also just the way football was affected by it. Just, you know, everybody, basically you saw all these teams and all these players limping towards this World Cup, and you get here and Benzema is injured and Mane is injured, and just, oh, man, it's I don't know. It feels off. I hope to be wrong, and I hope for the next weeks to be really exciting. But at some point, I don't know. It just something will never replace club football. I think also, especially this particular tournament, just doesn't even get close. So I think ultimately, this is going to be it's going to be a tournament of a storyline. There has to be a nice storyline here. There has to be that one team that everybody roots for. It seemed like Canada was going to be the one, and then it was underwhelming. Not because they didn't try, but just, you know, it's again a team inexperienced on this level, and they get to it and they leave immediately. So that's a shame. But there has to be a nice storyline there somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be Japan. We'll have to yet to face Spain. I don't know if it's going to be the US. I don't know. It's there has to be, you know, that one surprise that then you will just go back to it and you remember it. You know, like we all remember the Uruguay squad from, I believe, 2010.
Was that the handball of Luis Suarez? One of the greatest trolls of all time.
But you know, that team, you think about those personalities, a team that was really going up against some of the best teams of this particular century, you know, with Spain, with Germany, with the Netherlands, you think about, you know, those players, Suarez, Forlan, Cavani, it's
Muslera, man.
So and also those years, Ghana, you know, you had those moments, and I hope that we get one of those moments, one of those teams to really rise to the occasion and just take everybody by surprise. And so to make it memorable, because so far it really just feels so like just a perfectly packaged product, you know, it feels a bit drained of life. I don't know if it's at the atmosphere at the stadium. I don't know if it's just the season, whether we prefer to watch this kind of football, you know, closer to the summer, but rather than on a gray November day, depending on where you are in the world. But still, it's just... there is something that is missing, and hopefully we'll get it, because hey man, if really we have to go for the next couple of weeks choosing between, hey, do we want to watch Roma friendly a World Cup game, and they have in your eyes more or less the same level of excitement, that's going to be a problem, I think.
Okay, well, I do have to come clean. So even though today was the first match that I watched in full, I did watch, and this was, I will admit, I was hate-watching. And this is one of my character flaws that I am ashamed to admit that I do have. But I was hate-watching completely, particularly after I found out Nikola Zalewski wasn't going to start on Saturday between Poland and Saudi Arabia. I hate-watched about 40 minutes of that match. Because I thought to myself, okay, well, we have Zielinski, Milik. I mean, can I get... it doesn't have to be a torn ACL, but can I get at least a knee sprain? Can I get...
oh, look at you. Oh, twisted ankle. You. Look at this Roma Ultra. Look at you.
I would never, again, I would never...
no.
I would never wish injury on anybody, no. But I wouldn't complain if that were to happen. That's probably the more appropriate way of me to word this, because I I know, as far as the karma goes, that is why
Andrew Bogut got hurt within 30 seconds of Cleveland Cavaliers career. I think that's the greatest entrance of any player anytime. I still remember you were going crazy about.
I will never forget that
him
long
joining
as
a free agent. And literally getting his, what was it, his ACL torn in like 30 seconds on the court. It was ridiculous.
Yes, so. And I think he jumped all of 2 centimeters off the ground too, which is what made it, I think, all the more just confounding and
I think that's like the perfect, you know, the perfect Cavs player, the perfect Cavs player. That's that's him.
Okay. Well, do we have to? How long have we killed off so far?
10 minutes.
Okay, so we've gotten to 10 minutes.
If somebody's still with us, please. Yeah, hang on. Yeah. We still have some more of.
Welcome to all of those of you who stayed through those 10 minutes. That was rough, but in all seriousness, I still cannot bring myself to discuss transfer market. I will not allow us to go down that path yet. But we can at least talk about. So we did. In the previous episode, we talked a little bit of Sobotkin, Karsdorp. I guess we can add a little more to that. I wrote something for the patrons a few days ago, but I think I can bring it to the forefront now. I will write about it later for everybody on the website. But after speaking with some people connected with Rick Karsdorp, I was told that one of the things they are looking for, Andy, is a public apology. And I didn't have the heart to say this to them, but if there was ever a manager that you were going to ask for a public apology, Jose Mourinho, in my opinion, is probably the last one that you would get it from. Like if I had a list of
right down there on the bottom of the list along with Serza Cosmi.
That is undoubtedly true. So a little bit of background. I was chatting with people connected to Karsdorp and asking what the situation is, and it is a tricky sort of situation or episode to navigate simply because, and this is something they have explicitly put out there, was that he is suffering, his mental health has really suffered from this entire thing. And I'm not saying they are exploiting how serious and how correctly serious we now take mental health as opposed to in previous years. But since they did put that out there, Andy, that this whole thing has weighed on him and affected his mental health, I think that adds a bit of, not difficulty, but it makes it certainly a bit more of a sensitive situation. And Roma have to be careful with how they navigate it, in my opinion. You can't just, you know, have Jose Mourinho come out there and be brash about it.
Can I ask, is it public apology and we stay, or public apology and we still walk kind of attitude?
Public apology and I think stay or go is like too definitive, but I will say that it would be the first step towards amends, which I think, or at least I assume you and I agree that would be the most advantageous route for Roma, for Karsdorp, Jose Mourinho, for everybody involved. I would say if we were to create a list of potential outcomes, that would be the most ideal, unless you disagree. But I'm going to assume that you don't want. Wait, you disagree or you agree?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't disagree.
Oh, okay. So, I again. If I could have my preference, that would be the outcome. Everybody hugs, we kiss, we make up, and we go back to being a happy family. But part of me does understand this, at least partly from their point of view, that Mourinho, and now this is coming from, again, people connected to Rick Karsdorp, that Jose Mourinho was so critical, so definitive in his words, so harsh. And if we're going to be honest, he didn't name Karsdorp explicitly, but he did purge him pretty heavily. And even if he didn't use Karsdorp's name explicitly, the fact that he wasn't called up against Torino, if you didn't know before, well, the fact that he wasn't called up or playing or even in the country when Roma were playing Torino, that really answers and clears all doubt at that point. Nonetheless, they think that because of how harsh and how strongly Jose Mourinho came out against Rick Karsdorp, that there has to be, you know, there has to be some sort of public-facing statement saying, not that we were incorrect, but we could have been more appropriate in our approach with the criticism. Perhaps we didn't have to be so strong in our use of words or phrases. I don't know exactly the kind of vernacular that would please them, but one of the things that they did that people connected to Karsdorp were saying is that they want something in the form of a public apology. Now, again, I didn't have the heart to tell them this, but I would say the odds of that happening are close to zero. And it's not that they were drawing a hard line, but there has to be some sort of, again, public display of like affection. I can't think of a better phrase than that.
Well, I think like the idea. So the idea basically is you put it out there, you're gonna also put out this thing, right? Like you made a public remark regarding a player, you're gonna make another public remark in defense of that player, right? Like that's. Like, you know, you the eye for an eye, basically. I mean, you did that. Now you come out and you do this.
Well, to be honest with you, I think more so the biggest issue is not that it was public. I think it was the degree in which he went. I won't say that Jose Mourinho went out of his way to criticize Karsdorp, but I think we would both agree the manner in which he did. Certainly in his time at Roma, the only other time I think would even come close is what happened against Bodo, and it wasn't one individual that he purged. He purged, 7 of the 11 who stepped foot onto the pitch that evening. So I think the issue that they have is, okay, it's one thing to speak of a team this way. It's one thing to talk about multiple guys this way, but when you individualize the statement, you call out one guy and you place the blame of the defeat. And again, I do, to at least a certain extent, I do sympathize with him where, and this is not quote for quote, verbatim exactly what they said, but they said something along the lines of, you know, you didn't hear them in that post-match. You didn't hear Jose Mourinho speak of missed goal opportunities. You didn't hear him speak of missed shots. You didn't hear him speak of misplayed passes that had the potential to lead to a goal. You only heard him reference this one guy, and it was in his mind a perceived lack of effort, attitude, whatever it may be. I think beyond the fact that it was a very public flogging of Rick Karsdorp, I think, too, it was, we're not going to take into account these other factors that led to this result. We're only going to look at this one thing and we're going to place the blame 100% on that. I think beyond, again, the harshness of the statement, that is the thing that they take issue with.
And we went over this. I think ultimately the Mourinho's words in the aftermath of Sassuolo Roma served a different purpose. Now, always these things always depend on how the receiving party takes these words, you know, because I mean you look at the different reactions that, for example, someone like Marash Kumbula had to what Mourinho said after Bodo the Bodo, the Bacol, and somebody like Gonzalo Villar. One faded away, the other one sort of reemerged afterwards after taking some time to work on himself and blah, blah, blah. Now, the fact that Karsdorp may have interpreted and felt very strongly about this is completely in his right. And at the same time, I think these are remarks that we have to expect from somebody like Mourinho. Maybe he didn't expect it because their relationship was different, and then Mourinho made a U-turn after Sassuolo and went, you know, really strongly at him for something that he noticed was wrong on the pitch and so on and so on. But ultimately what I'm trying to say is that there has to be a point where both sides, you know, meet each other, you know, halfway, because the player can be suffering, and that is unfortunate, and that should be taken care of, and the club should make an effort to make him understand that you know, we are with you, and this is not worth your health, listen, if this goes beyond the pitch, then it's our bad. But it has to, this is you know, it takes two to tango. The ideal would be to resolve this and then do what's best for the player, because if there is mental health at stake, then the focus has to be on the player. Otherwise, there has to be a solution that benefits both parties. And these are things I think that happen. The fact that this is getting so much publicity, so much traction, is perhaps also when it happens. It happens right before the international break. It happens right before January. There is more time to think about this, to let it sit, to let it become also subject to several rumors. I mean, how many rumors have we seen linking Karsdorp with specific teams and specific terms and conditions? And is he in Amsterdam? Is he not in Amsterdam? Is he back in Rome? Is he undergoing medical checks? Is he not undergoing medical checks? I mean, all of this is... it becomes very unnecessary due to the bad timing of it. I just think these are things that we have come to expect from Mourinho. The fact that the target became Karsdorp makes this louder than it should be. Because I think that Mourinho has been just as harsh in certain instances with somebody like Tammy Abraham, but probably there the relationship is different. So it all depends. Every time these things, especially with Mourinho, if you look at his history, I mean, you look at the relationships he's had over the years with very different players, they're very different, just like the players. I mean, you have somebody like John Terry who adores him and is willing, publicly said he's willing to die for him. To guys like Anthony Martial, you know, who can't stand him and who consider him basically the biggest enemy and of their in their career, right? And so it always depends on the personality, on the player that is involved, on the existing relationship. I really don't know what else we can add to this. Just that we hope that, you know, there is a positive outcome for the player, and if he's suffering, that he gets better, and for Roma, and for just the whole situation to be mended, because this is clearly unnecessary, especially at a time like this. You know, had it happened earlier, probably you would have had more opportunities to face, you know, each other. The fact that, you know, Roma, the international break starts and Roma go directly to Japan doesn't really help. Your top level management is gone. You have nobody to talk to really face to face. The player is on vacation. You know, it's unfortunate, but it has to be at some point resolved. And then a decision has to be made. What's best? You want to leave? Fine. We'll find you a solution. You want to stay? Great. We'll try and reintegrate you.
Okay. Well, we've made it almost 25 minutes. I don't know really what else there is to discuss beyond what we've already been to.
Hey, man, it's been 12 years without Leslie Nielsen. I know it's a weird shout out, but I just want to say 12 years without Leslie Nielsen. It's been 12 years of a world that's been very very unfunny without him. Naked Gun trilogy, history.
But you were going to say Mr. Magoo.
No, I'm saying Airplane. I'm saying Naked Gun. You know, I mean, good I'm movie, saying Naked lines Gun, like, yeah. "Oh, nice beaver." You know, I mean, it's nobody could do it like him. So I'm just filling in the silence. You know, if people are down, you know, and if they're watching this World Cup and they say this is not really my thing, if they're watching Roma draw 3-3 with Yokohama Marinos, arigato gozaimasu. they can. That's my Japanese right there.
You actually pronounced it pretty decent, I have to say.
I know. Thank you. I've just watched a lot of Lost in Translation, so I identify very strongly with Bill Murray getting lost in Tokyo. But if you're down, if you're not in the mood for football, then pop in Naked Gun trilogy. I assure you, you're gonna have the time of your life. And you're gonna remember forever one of our greatest comedians in Leslie Nielsen, the man who could, I think he pretty much invented the fart joke. He would have a fart machine.
He did,
would go
yes.
on talk shows with the fart machine. So if you haven't seen, look it up. There's on YouTube clips of it. He was just the master. So without him, you probably don't have a lot of. A lot of other comedians like, you know, Chris Farley and Adam Sandler and whatever, all those guys from the late 90s to 2000s, that's all Leslie Nielsen's heritage. So I just had to make a shout out and see, we got two extra minutes of content
yes.
right there.
So, I'm trying to think, as far as the Roma players in the World Cup, we have Zalewski, we have Dybala.
Vigna. And Rui Patricio, four. We got four. We are pathetic, but we got four.
Well. I guess the one thing I wanted to get to was, obviously, Dybala is the one that most are going to be looking at. He hasn't played in the first two matches, so that's about as good as you could have hoped for, that things didn't get so bad for Argentina that they felt the need to put him out there and risk him. Now, I will say, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. Let me see how much time I can kill and not create any silence as I look this up on my phone. Okay, so Poland-Argentina is indeed on Wednesday. I will probably watch that in its entirety. Can't imagine that Paulo Dybala would be playing in that one either. I will be interested yeah. to see if Zalewski makes it back into Poland's starting 11 again.
Mm. I don't know.
Vigna, talk about a very weird.
Vigna makes the best mate, man. He's the moral support guy. He is the help desk. You know, I'm pretty sure that the Uruguay players, whenever they have a nightmare or, you know, have a tummy ache, they get up, they call up Vigna. He comes on with the mate, with the pillow, with a movie. Everybody loves him, and you know he's there. He's got his international career going. So,
well, yeah, and then we also have Rui Patricio. He's been playing the role of a spectator so far in this one. Although,
yeah,
I mean, the error, or I should say, the goal that Portugal nearly conceded. Did you see that one that they nearly conceded?
That was the most end? Roma thing I've ever seen on an international.
That was exactly
tournament.
What I was about to say.
Yeah,
I mean.
The chance to tie it, the chance to keep yourself alive, the goalkeeper gifts it to you. The goalkeeper is not even, he's actually an accessory to murder the goalkeeper, right. And you still fumble it.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I only would have expected something like that to happen to Roma. And the fact that after the match, I don't know if you watched much after full time, but the poor guy, Diogo Costa, I mean, he looked mm-hmm. like he died, even though they had won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It will do that to you. I mean, I felt so poorly for that guy.
We've seen that too many times with the likes of Paulo Lopez and Robin Olsen. I mean, we've seen that same... you know, that face of when the degree of the extent, the gravity of the mistake takes a hold of you and you realize what what you could have done with that mistake, what it could have led to, and you're just absolutely, you know, distraught. You're just it collapses. I think it hurts you even more when you're confronted with that possibility, because you were having a good game and then comes that crucial moment where you have to show that what you're capable of and you mess it up and you put the team at risk. That has to hurt, because then, okay, you didn't let it in, but you're not really giving your team a sense of security, you know? So it's that had to be terrible, and it was a great reminder of the days that we shared the same feeling with the players that I mentioned in goal.
Well, I was, if I knew we were going to go down this path, I would have uploaded the audio from it, because in honor of Uruguay playing, our good friend Mauro Goycochea, who had in his very brief time, I did he play more than the one season at Roma beyond the one of Zeman? I don't think he did.
Mm.
But in that brief time, I can think of at least 2 to 3 of some of the worst, most embarrassing errors that a goalkeeper could ever concede. And it makes it all the better that the fact that he only came to Roma because Zeman liked the way he would hoof the ball forward and restart the play very quickly.
Back in Uruguay, by the way. He's back in Uruguay. He's 34 years old. He's back in Uruguay.
He's back.
He was
He was playing in France. Uruguay now.
He's done with Toulouse. Yeah, he was in Toulouse in 6 years. At Toulouse, he got 20 appearances.
Wow. Good for him.
With Roma, he got 15 appearances between 2012 and 2013. Yeah.
The one against Cagliari is one of the most spectacular mistakes that you will ever see a goalkeeper commit. And it's even more funny when you consider you will look at the video and you will already laugh at yourself, but anybody who reads our website, especially since Jose Mourinho arrived, will know that one former manager who I have already mentioned, Zdenek, he got sacked. People don't remember this part of the story, but after Goycochea committed that error, he was literally sacked. Yeah.
And mind you, and Stekelenburg was reinstated. So, which is not saying much, because it's like Mirante replacing Olsen. It's like Mirante replacing Olsen. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that big of a quality leap. I mean, it's Stekelenburg at Roma is disappointing. Goycochea is embarrassing,
but
the gap between the two is really not that big. So imagine for Goycochea to be just so bad that an injured Stekelenburg, who returns from injury banged up, the Stekelenburg that couldn't speak a lick of Italian, goes back
like
and goal,
10
and
years,
compared
that guy,
to you, is doing better. So
yes, I will never understand. Is it a We need to get some of our friends from the Netherlands on here to explain to us what's going on, because Stekelenburg, Karsdorp, who his is even more ridiculous when you consider he's married to an Italian. So I don't know.
And also Wijnaldum is not really doing that great effort of, he's just, the only times I see him is he's posting like videos of himself with that beautiful smile of his, but not in Italy. He's not really the kind of guy that went to Italy and actually embraced being there. And you know, I'm away from the clouds and the rain of the Netherlands. And before the haters get at me, I lived in the Netherlands for 3 years. I know what the weather is. It's not pleasant. So these guys are just so in love with their country. I mean, they are the biggest patriots I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. I was even reading an interview with Wijnaldum. He made it sound like his family is in Baghdad or something. He was like, oh, it's so tough now that I'm back, because he was back for like a 2-week stretch to like undergo some recovery steps with the Roma's medical staff. And he was like, in an interview with a Dutch outlet, he was like, this is so tough. You know, I'm away from my family and I can't see them. And this really hurts me. And it's really tough. And I don't know if I'm going to make it. And it's one of the most difficult things I've had to face. I mean, dude, you know, I mean, it's a plane from Rome to Amsterdam probably takes less than 2 hours. So yeah,
I was about to say,
okay.
Is it even an hour and a half?
They're not sending airstrikes on Amsterdam, okay, my dude? So it's fine. It's here. You got enjoy your pasta alla gricia, matriciana, whatever. You're not, nobody's missing Heineken. You know, the world can go without Heineken. It's fine. Enjoy life in Rome. No, they have to go back to Rotterdam or Amsterdam, whatever they want. And it's I don't know what it is. I don't know. These Dutch players, man, there's really something about them that makes them so patriotic that they just can't for the life of them be in an environment that does not scream Netherlands, Netherlands.
Mm. Well, there has to be something, because in the time that you were talking, I Googled it, and Stekelenburg is still playing. How in the world is that even possible?
But he was even on the national team not so long ago.
That's alarming.
I know, yeah.
For so many reasons.
I'm pretty sure he was at the Euro, so.
That's fantastic. Okay, all right, well, if... There's very few opportunities we will have to play it out on Stekelenburg subjects. So I'm going to take this. All right, everyone. We'll be back later this week talking about I have no idea what. Hopefully something happens somewhat interesting this week in these matches. I mean, the match is still going on right now between Uruguay and Portugal. Maybe... Patricio and Vinha, they can, get off
Flash
the bench and
have,
start
have
fighting something, because this is, it's 0-0 currently. So
we need Vinha. We need
brutal,
Vinha.
Brutal. Okay, everyone. Chat with you again in a few days. Until then, ciao.